Well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully your greasy little fingers didn't mess up your eclipse lenses. It's come and gone, as have some recent birthdays that we should acknowledge.
Wait, we're supposed to wear glasses for that?
Yeah.
Is that why there's just a big white dot in the middle of my screen that's not there? Like every time I try to close the window?
Oh, Seb.
Wait, you're telling me that that putting my hand over my eyes and squinting at it like Trump did wasn't enough?
He
Wait,
has the best vision.
You're
There's
saying
an
someone
eclipse.
lied. You're saying someone lied on the internet.
What?
You know what? I think I'm going to take my leave from the show now. Goodbye. You know, it's been fun. No, of course I didn't. That eclipse was really something else.
I watched it on the streams. I didn't have any glasses with me. So I'm like, might as well just watch it on the internet. And I did, and it was fine. I wasn't untroubled, unbothered.
Yeah. If you ever wanted to see a black circle go into a white circle, I mean, it's something else.
Well, what was the percentage of the eclipse that you guys saw? Like, obviously it wasn't like 95% totality like it was here, but...
Yeah, so if the map that was passed around my office was any indication of where it was in relation to us, I think, I want to say like Texas or that area sort of got the bulk of it. I would say we got about 15 to 20%. So if you ever studied like the moon phases in school, if you ever took an astronomy course, it was like, is waxing the one where it looks like it's like a fingernail? I digress. It was like barely there, but we did see it.
Okay.
There was a few times where I did have to fight the urge to actually not look up at it without glasses because I was like, you know, it can't be that bad, right? Lo and behold, it was. I didn't go blind, but the glasses did make it that much cooler. It was actually the first eclipse I think I've ever seen live. Because correct me if I'm wrong, when we were kids, whenever there was an eclipse, like in grade school, the teachers would like draw the blinds and not let anyone else go out for recess or whatever, because they didn't want to be liable for a bunch of kids.
See, I don't remember any of that, but it makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Last time there was an eclipse, though, it was my first day working at Variety, and they gave us all eclipse glass. No. They didn't. I had to buy some. I had to buy some from someone at school. I looked on the Facebook marketplace, and then I found a pair of glasses there, which honestly probably not the smartest place to get some eclipse glasses because they may be counterfeit. I see Ryan is walking over with his eclipse glasses, but I mean, think the funny thing is
my question was what? You didn't get pink eye from it?
No, I mean. I mean, who's to say? I could be lying to you right now. I could actually be blind from having stared at that eclipse, and have just been very good at faking it all these years. But I think one of the funniest things is that, like, immediately after the eclipse, the search for "my eyes hurt" just skyrocketed on Google.
My eyes hurt. Oh man.
Yeah, that was an actual news story that the search for "my eyes hurt" skyrocketed. I saw someone post something. It's interesting. From the last time there was a solar eclipse, from a newscast, it was, so that's it, the last solar eclipse to be seen on this continent in this century. And as I said, not until April 8, 2024 will another eclipse be visible from North America. That's another 44 years from now. May the shadow of the moon fall on a world at peace.
So 44 years.
Wishful thinking. Very good wishful thinking. But
well, I know... The next eclipse that will be seen from the United States will be in 2044, followed by, I think, 2045. I mean, there's going to be other eclipses between now and then, but...
There's one in 2026. My friends are like, hey, let's go to Spain and go see it from Spain.
There's,
and I'm like...
There's
going to
be some visible later this year in, like, you know, South America. So,
guys, we all share the
like
same
America
sun. So
south.
It shouldn't matter where we are in the world, right?
But do we share the same planet?
Oh,
Oh,
okay, Carl
oh.
Sagan. All right.
Do
Well,
we all share
as
the
long as we
same
don't
planet
share the
Earth?
same toothbrush, I'm fine.
Yeah, those eclipse glasses, honestly, when a couple of them were being passed around the office, I was a little skeptical. I'm like, you're telling me that this is gonna stop the what is it? Not the UV, or is it the UV? Anyway, it's a good thing I didn't go to school for whatever that field of study is. But you put on the glasses,
Gastronomy,
and
right?
it's just astronomy. I said it earlier. You put on the glasses, everything's dark, and it isn't until you actually look up at the sun where you realize, oh wow, they work. Because I'm putting them on, and I'm just like, you may as well have blindfolded me.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was cool.
Just put mine back on, and like the only thing I can
Oh, look
see
at the cool kid.
are it, like I all I can see
Oh.
is my light on my
Sorry, hey
desk.
Matt. Sorry, we're not part of the IT crowd. So let me.
What, did
I'm
you guys
just gonna
recycle
leave.
your glasses already?
Well, they weren't even mine. And as much
That's
as I was
right.
tempted to as much as I was tempted to steal them, it had this like. This really cringe design of like flames and shit. Like it's something you'd see on like a 2004 hot rod,
I've
like
seen
bringing
that
out your
one,
Hot
yeah.
Wheels. And I'm thinking, oh wow, that's cool. And then I pull a Wayne's World immediately and say, not because it's they did the job, but I don't know. Unless I'm planning on holding on onto those glasses for another 2 years if I want to go to Spain, or another 40 plus years when I'm well into retirement. And who knows what the world's going to look like by then. I'll probably just buy another pair.
Do you think that the hype over the eclipse was warranted with people flying to other states only for it to be overcast and they can't see anything? Or do you think it was warranted?
I don't know. I mean, you're already not supposed to look up at the sun, so I really don't know what other dangerous elements were implemented aside from it being slightly more dangerous. And if you want to travel to a different state for that, just because of the time frame in between the eclipses, by all means, it's sort of like when people travel to Spain to run with the bulls. There's only a certain amount of time to run with said bulls, and with probably an even greater chance of danger. I don't know, blindness or full frontal paralysis from the waist down. I don't know. I'll take my chances at looking at the big white ball.
Well, here it was fascinating simply because the path of totality was covering northern Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. And for the most part, besides, I mean, you basically had a lot of towns in northern New Hampshire, some cities in northern Vermont, including Burlington, the place that gave us ice cream and socialism, and Maine, which was
Yay.
just like just trees, yeah, trees. And on one hand, there's the uninhabited nature of a lot of that space. But on the other hand, having been to New Hampshire and Vermont, the roads are. It's one thing when you're like the only car driving, but it's just one. It's like one lane going one way. So it's. Yeah, we got the highways here, but it does get to a point where you're literally just going down a dark, winding road in a forest, and you feel like you're either in a really decent Tim Burton movie or a lesser Twilight movie. So you're thinking to yourself, is this all worth it to get to the eclipse? I don't know. And honestly, we had a good enough view here that I was kind of like, you know what? I'm sure. I mean, I've been to Burlington once. I did love it. I'm meaning to go back.
Did you get a coat?
Did I get a what?
A
Man,
coat.
fuck you. I was gonna make that joke.
What do you mean a coat?
The
Like,
factory. Come on, Ryan. What, you never been to a mall in a downtown area?
Jeez, jeez. My God. You know, it's been so long that I've ever thought of Burlington Coat Factory. So I told this to the Sundial guys, and I told Taylor about this, and I was saving this for the show. There was a moment this week where one of my editors made a comment to myself and another editor saying, "You guys are killing me." And I was this close to saying, "You're killing
You're
me,
killing me,
Larry."
Larry.
Yeah.
And then I realized, hold on. Is sit and sleep an everywhere thing? Or is that a Southern California thing? So I went to my good friend Wikipedia and I said, "Hello, Wikipedia, my good friend." And I was like, oh, shoot. They're all in California.
Yeah,
And. Oh.
lo and behold, humans do indeed need to both sit and sleep.
Yeah.
It's kind of a thing that's, yeah.
And I mentioned it to Taylor, and she was like, "What is that?" And I realized, okay, it means I got to do my Larry Miller impression. I never get to do that. So I did it. And the whole time she was like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, this was a thing. This was life. This was a part of just existing. And now I've left that world and,
A beloved SoCal institution.
yeah, like 99 cent store, RIP, maybe."
No, they're
Okay,
being saved. They're
no,
possibly being saved.
it's
That's why
the
I said maybe. Yeah.
99 store. You go into a 99 cent store besides sales tax and you try to ring up something on the register that is sub 99 cents. And
Yeah.
I'll stake my bet on it. It's good riddance. Okay, good
I love
riddance.
how they put the condoms and the pregnancy tests in the impulse purchase section.
Oh, geez.
That's where all the tabloid magazines go when you go to shop at
And the
Ralph's. They
candy.
have them literally at the register. And you'd think,
Oh,
okay,
man.
well, this makes sense. Because, like,
Wait, of
from a
course I want
store,
to know if
yeah.
Princess Di got abducted by aliens.
What?
It's tabloid front page news right there.
Oh,
Yeah.
right. Okay, I
Yeah.
was like, wait, what? Yeah, no, I remember seeing a good majority of those.
But yeah, overall, I thought the eclipse was fun. Going up to it, I was like, or leading on into it, I was thinking to myself, okay, I really just want this to be over. Part of that's just because that the damn eclipse has been like a focus of my work as of late, other than crime and court stuff. But I don't know. It was good to finally sit back. Well, I wasn't even sitting. Standing up against a window or outside the office, looking up and just kind of going, oh yeah. Celestial events, they're fun. What can I say? It's great.
It's always nice.
The next
It's
film by
always
Alex
nice to
Garland,
see.
Eclipse.
Yeah, really. The eclipse. It's like 2012, but as the film goes on, you realize, hey, that white ball in the sky is slowly getting closer.
My God.
Oh, I love it.
I know,
Oh, man.
I wish Andrew were here because I would have asked him, hey, so if and when you saw the eclipse, did you happen to look up and go, "Lisa Nogueib"? Oh, people had fun with it. Certainly the mania around it. I'm glad it's over.
Speaking of Paul Muad'Dib, AMC says, "Oh, we never would have approved that popcorn bucket if we didn't think if we knew that it was going to be such a meme. We never would have approved it."
What? Bill
Yeah,
Clinton, is
no.
that you?
What? What are we
AMC.
arguing about nowadays? A popcorn bucket?
The Dune popcorn bucket.
Oh, did you get this from IGN?
Yeah.
What?
According to
Matt, I
them.
can't. Matt, your journalism card is going to get stripped of you if you don't stop with this tomfoolery. IGN? Are we scraping the bottom of the barrel here?
I just look at
What does
what
it even
Facebook
look
tells
like?
me. Have you never
Okay,
seen the
fair enough.
popcorn bucket?
I'm looking it up now,
The Dune
and
popcorn bucket that SNL
it
made a
looks
skit
like an
about
urn.
everyone
I
wanting
love
to
it.
fuck.
Oh,
It's a
wait, hold on.
fleshlight.
Hold on. This is the first time you're seeing the Dune worm bucket?
We've talked about it
Yeah.
before, yes?
We have.
I'm not with me, no. Or maybe you did and I tuned out, but I've never actually seen it. The first thing I think of is an urn, because it looks like an urn. I
Oh.
get a top-down view, and now I see what you're saying.
There have people made shirts about just buying the Dune popcorn bucket so they can take it home and have their way with it. SNL made a whole skit about taking the popcorn bucket home and having it their way with it.
There's a guy standing in front of the Dune poster with a shirt that just says, "I'm just here to fuck the popcorn bucket." So there's already merch being made.
In an interview
I
with
get.
Variety, as reposted by IGN, so this came from Variety
Ah, okay.
originally.
Got it.
We never would have imagined the Dune thing. We never would have created it knowing it would have been celebrated or mocked.
What are you talking about? In its design itself, it's begging to be mocked, just like how anyone who goes into an aquarium and gets one of those squishy little tube things that jostles around when you hold it, you know what I mean.
The water sleeve thing.
Isn't the water sleeve? It's a sleeve for something else. I'll leave that up to your imagination.
Well, I know there's at least one person out there who made their own version of the cup, and they were very deliberate with how they made it. Probably more deliberate than the people that actually made the popcorn cup. And also, it falls in line with. Like, I'll put it to you this way. If there was one thing in the Dune movies that I was very underwhelmed with in terms of its design compared with the David Lynch one, it actually would be the worms. And the reason for that is Denis Villeneuve, the director, has this thing with incorporating eyes into his movies, like things that either are an eye or look like an eye, or things that look like a spider. Those are two things that he just loves to incorporate in his films. His movie Enemy with He Who Must Not Be Named, Jake Gyllenhaal, there's some creepy spider stuff in that if you want to see. If you want, like, nightmare fuel involving spiders, Enemy's a great movie. It's also just actually a great movie. But yeah, like, for some reason, he wanted the mouth of the worms to look like an eye. And
It looks like something else.
the cup doesn't translate that very well. It looks like something else. And
Even when you look at it in the movie, your brain doesn't go to I don't think. It goes to something else.
yeah, like, the first time I saw the worm in the first movie, at first I was like, why does it have bristles? And then when somebody was like, oh, Denis likes his eyes, I was like, oh, I see it. I still don't like it.
Well, if you can't beat them, join them. That being said, my AMC stake officially grows higher.
Oh, hey, use that AMC money to go watch Joker, Folie à Deux with Matt and Heather.
Why do I have less than zero
Why?
interest
Why
in that
would I do
movie?
that when I can watch literally anything else for free at home? And I'm saying this because it took probably what? It took like less than 2, 3 months for, I'm just going to say, an example, like the Super Mario Bros. Movie to come out on streaming services. How long of an anticipated turnover rate is this second Joker movie going to be on home TV screens? Because it doesn't look particularly like it'll captivate the audience the same way as the first movie did.
I mean, in terms of when it might appear on streaming, I think
And
part of that
maybe
3 months
3 months at the latest, 3 months.
I'm only asking because I don't want to see it in theaters. I don't want to spend the time and money seeing it in theaters. And well, if I went alone, I'd probably have a police report filed about me, considering it's been done before.
Is this Sebastian
Yeah.
lore we need to know about?
Yeah, did you just
No,
indict
no, no,
yourself
no,
here,
no, oh,
buddy?
no. So I think there was I think there was a couple news articles floating around back when the original Joker was released
Oh, I know
that
where this is going, I think.
people were reporting single men watching, like paying admittance to see the Joker in theaters when it came out because it was just suspect, quote unquote, let's just say.
Okay.
That's not very cool. I'd much rather that not happen. However, given the political climate that we're, well, checks watch in and checks watch again, soon about to be in again, I'm really wondering if the same tactics to deter this movie from being seen by people will be used. That being said, I'll take off my tinfoil hat and we can discuss it like adults. The cheapskating just doesn't want to pay exorbitant ticket fees. But I guess on the more extreme case, I don't want to go to jail or at least get on a government watch list. So.
Well, that's why you go with a group of people. I mean, when I saw Joker, I was with Mauricio, I was with a bunch of other mutual friends of ours. My sister came with us. Like, we had a whole group together. So, and you know,
Fair enough. Fair enough.
it's this time around,
Matt,
it might just be me
Jukebox
and Dave.
musical though.
Matt, if you're down to
Why?
go, then that's, yeah,
I'll
I'm down.
go. I'll go just so we can mock it viciously.
Oh God.
But why?
Yeah.
I don't like. I mean, I understand that they are exploring an Elseworlds universe with this. This is not canon, but like. Some
Yeah.
things are just very central to the Joker Harley relationship that they are very clearly changing in this. Just like she's not also a patient, she's his psychiatrist.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the power of, and the imbalance of the relationship comes from. And like Todd Howard, it's Todd Howard, right?
Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips, it's like you don't
Todd
get,
Howard.
I don't know, there's too many people named Todd in this world. But
That Fallout TV show is going to go absolutely crazy. If they don't fuck it up, and I hope
well,
they
I mean, the
don't.
first two episodes are pretty good so far, but
Oh, it's
Todd,
out. Oh, that's
yeah, it
right.
came
Yeah.
out yesterday. It was like they
Okay.
were supposed to come out today, but they bumped it up as like an early birthday to me. So, but like it's just like it's one of those things where I feel like he's in the Christopher Nolan era, like phase of his career where he thinks, oh, I'm tough shit because I made like a semi-decent adaptation the first time and I changed
Right.
things and no one seemed to care, but it's like I don't know, he's touching things that are too central to the characters that I don't think will be as effective if it's done that way, because the whole point of Harley is that she is taken in by her patient and she violates like her
Yeah.
ethical standards as a doctor, and that he uses that imbalance to like take her in and make her his lackey. Also, I hate jukebox musicals, so I see no point in watching people do karaoke on screen when I can just go to a bar and watch them make fun of themselves for free, or just listen to the actual song on Spotify.
Right.
So you're saying you wouldn't have preferred if this movie was just one big slam poetry that was just recorded?
As long as it's original. As long as the rhymes are fresh, man. That's all I care
That's
about.
fair.
Fresh rhymes. Also, it just looks like they're rehashing a lot of the same beats that they did in, like, at least in this trailer, that they did in the first one, like with the dancing on the stairs and the same goddamn dance moves.
Yeah.
It's like, this is so clearly milking the first one.
That's what I don't want to see. Me
It's
too.
so
And
obviously, at least for the trailer. In it, at least, maybe not the movie, but the trailer is so obviously milking what people saw in the first one. And it's like, I have less than zero interest in seeing this, but I will see it just because will probably write a review on it.
No, I agree. I think if I had to give my one criticism, and it really is my only criticism for the trailer, it is exactly that. It did feel like, oh, it's just reminding me of the first one. Like it is the member berries, even though this is a movie that didn't come out, 20, 30, 40 years ago. This is a movie that came out 5 years ago, which even that's kind of weird to think about. I think if anything, it did a phenomenal job at bringing you back to the atmosphere of the first movie, which I personally enjoyed. I do like this version of Gotham City. I like the sort of period element to it. And I hear what you're saying about the liberties that they take with the origins of the characters, but I mean, I'm
It's an
also,
Elseworlds tale. That's not canon.
I mean, it's part of why, I love the 89 Batman, is that it you have a world where the Joker is the one that actually kills, spoilers for a movie that came out in the 80s, ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends. That's why you can have a Batman movie where the Joker is actually the one that kills Thomas and Martha Wayne. Okay, that's very simple and on the nose, but when you wrap it up in a well-made Tim Burton movie, when he's at his peak, all right, I'll buy it. And you also give me a reason for why Batman could kill one of his rogues, especially when he finds out he's the reason why he is the way he is. Okay, that's intriguing. But in this universe, I mean, I don't know. I think if anything too, it's just playing with the whole concept of whatever this Joker thinks reality really is. And it was, in my opinion, it was done very well in the first movie. I was genuinely surprised when Zazie Beetz's character is like, "Oh, hey, wait, you're that guy from the elevator, right?" And you realize
That
that
was a
all
good
of those.
moment.
Yeah, like that was something that when I was with friends in the theater, we were all like, "Oh no." We were all like, "Oh." And yeah, to go back to what you said about, it's reminding me a lot of the first movie. Yeah, there is that part of me also that's like, okay, there's a show, he's in a white suit. Clearly, we're once again aping off of the talk show scene in the Dark Knight Returns graphic novel, which they've already, literally in the first movie, they aped on that with the whole, oh my God, Seb, help me. Murray's first name.
I mean, to be quite honest, do you really need to know his first name? I mean, the punchline, given that it's the Joker, is the fact that it's you want another joke, Murray. You know what? Just for S and G's, I'll go ahead and look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking to Murray Franklin.
Oh.
There we go.
Franklin. Okay.
For some reason, I thought, yeah, I know,
I thought Murray was the last name,
me
not
too.
okay.
I do need to go back
Interesting.
and rewatch the first one. It's certainly a movie that you
It's not a
don't.
movie that I ever thought I would need to watch again.
I've only
Yeah, I feel
rewatched
like
it.
once is pretty good.
Yeah, I've seen it 3 times because
No.
I think I watched it with once. No, I've seen it twice. I watched it with my friend Nick the first time, and then I watched it with my family when they watched it. But it's not a movie I ever wanted or needed to watch multiple times. It's like you did your thing. I certainly didn't need a sequel to it. It's like, what else can you say? Like, I think you said everything you needed to say the first time. Like, what are you what? So the thing is now that you know you have to sing about it because you said it already. So you're gonna sing about it this time.
Yeah, that was my big criticism when they announced that they were indeed doing a second one, was that the first movie for me is, I mean, is it a flawless movie? No. I mean, all of the
It's
larger.
certainly a well-done movie.
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, but like, even some of the more like political themes that are, you could say they're deliberate, you could say maybe they're not, in terms of like, class in Gotham, and certainly they toy with that to the point where there's anarchy in the streets. It's something that is very ham-fisted, and I know that's something that only I can only think of one other Batman movie that tried toying with that, and it was also even more ham-fisted. But that movie being The Dark Knight Rises. But I think overall, first movie was well made, well crafted, well done, and to make more out of it, it's like, what the hell do you do? You know, you can't, unless you really stretch this out and make a third movie where Joaquin Phoenix looks like
you
he's
can't.
In a... Well,
you can't, because third Batman movies are over commercialized as shit, and we've already seen that happen. So God forbid a third one comes out.
This is kind
what, of is Joaquin Phoenix going to be strolling around in the familiar purple tuxedo that we know Joker from? Is he going to go all the way with the makeup? I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but the dramatic shift in marketing to children, because it's been done before, I'm begging them not to fuck it up.
Oh,
please don't make a third one.
Why would this universe be made for children?
It's just been done already, because you see how dark and gritty the first Batman movie was, and you see how uncomfortable the second Batman movie was, like almost borderline.
Yeah.
You know, shock value E. I mean, that's just probably just because the aesthetic of Danny DeVito is Danny DeVito. They did great job.
You mean Tim Burton? Or.
Well, no, just, well, Tim Burton, but also just how they portrayed the characters in the film. And then you get Joel Schumacher waddling on set, and he's like, oh, I have a radically different idea. Granted,
Matt Nipples.
It worked. Granted, it worked.
It did.
But it only works for so long. And I'm applying that same logic here in the second movie, being like, did it need to be made? No. Are they trying something different? Yes. Please don't try anything else. Please. Like, you can even afford, you can afford to ride on your coattails from the first movie, and I'd be fine. I could throw all of my criticism out the window and be fine with the fact that they are riding off the coattails of the first movie in the trailer for the second movie, at least.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of the first movie, which they did so phenomenally well. Who knows if this movie is going to do as well. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and basically say that all the preemptive knee-jerk jokes coming out of this is because they saw Lady Gaga's name on screen and thought, oh, what a fish out of water in terms of who you'd expect to cast as Harley. Maybe she'll be good. My hope is that they're not too good, because third movies don't tend to garner that much success.
See, and I thought in there you were also going to lump in The Dark Knight Rises, and then it's not really a third Batman movie, but it's certainly a third film in a trilogy where at least two of the films feature Batman, which would be, well, actually, I was going to say with the Snyderverse, in terms of like his three Superman movies. And you do have Batman in the third movie, but he's less grim and gritty, and he's more like, oh, well, I don't not like you, Superman. And you're like, why would he say that? And then you get the actual version where him and the Joker are making, like, sex puns, and Batman's like, I will fucking kill you. And you're like, what? And I say that as somebody that likes the Snyder Cut. That's the only DCEU movie that I can tolerate, and it's four bloody hours. But I think, number one, I don't think they would carry on that
logic
with
a
third.
I really hope not.
Joker. Well, I don't think Todd Phillips would do it. And I feel like if you lose Todd Phillips, you lose Joaquin Phoenix. And the way I see it, if you lose
That's my thing. That's my thing. If you lose Todd Phillips, the whole thing falls apart for a new director to come in and be like, you know what worked the first time? Bright colors and getting away from the grittiness. I'm not saying it could happen, but I am saying that if a third movie is to be in the works, okay, you got a lot of Joker source material from the comics alone.
Yeah.
But unless they're intending to frame the entirety of this, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say series, because I guarantee you it's not going to stop with just two films. I hope it does. Unless
too much
they
money
theme
at
it
stake
around,
there.
Yeah.
Right. Unless they theme it around the stylization of, say, the Arkham games, which is probably about as gritty Batman video game content as it gets.
Yeah.
I'm not holding my breath over it not having a drastic change. If the money's there, if the demand is there, you know, we haven't seen... Let me just put it to you this way. Aside from Heath Ledger, and okay, I guess you could say Jared Leto, albeit that was just kind of a one-off in terms of design, we really haven't seen a Joker as colorful since fucking Adam West.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah.
And
see,
I feel
like those colors were a little bit, aesthetically anyway, not as... it wasn't as bright and eye-catching. I would probably...
It was still on the like the very dark Tim Burton style.
Yeah, it was still very dark Tim Burton-y. And like I said, Jared Leto, Suicide Squad. I mean, that movie's just bright. Because, you know, I think they went all the way up on the gamma scale with that. I don't know.
I mean, Jack Nicholson's Joker was colorful. I mean,
well,
that's...
Let's give him another look.
That's pretty...
Oh, I forgot he had the orange shirt. That's right.
And the
okay.
pants, the plaid pants. Like, he's walking
all
around
right.
in baggy plaid pants and, you know...
It's not the first time I've admitted that I was wrong. However, my point still stands that I really hope they don't throw the baby out with the bathwater and completely lose their entire sense of identity in making another Joker movie after this one that is dated as shit. Because the first Joker movie, Matt, you said that you can't really watch it again. I make the argument that if you ever wanted a snapshot of how a political, sociopolitical climate could get bad, that's a movie for you.
Yeah.
I really hope that a potential third movie, well, I really hope that the second movie doesn't do what I'm about to say. I really hope that a third movie doesn't forget that. So,
see,
you know.
I feel like there's, and I know in a lot of ways we're talking more about a hypothetical third movie than the second one, and I will comment on Lady Gaga as well, but I think if you are going to do a third movie, and especially given the fact that Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know how old he was supposed to be in that first film, but if he's supposed to be my age, get out of here. And
he's
depending on how
40s.
Old, yeah, like he's an older guy, so you could fudge it in a third film where, given the events of the first movie, you could fudge it in a third movie where, okay, you've done your unique take, your unique origin on the Joker, now you've done a second movie where you've introduced Harley Quinn and made it even more, no pun intended, crazy than the first movie. If that does well, what does a third movie look like? And frankly, I think the only way you can do it, and just make it a one-off, for the love of God, make it a one-off. Don't do any spin-offs, don't make a fourth movie about this character, which it's going to probably come as no surprise who I'm going to mention. In the third movie, that's where you bring Batman into the equation. And make him as either low budget or as, you know, I don't know. Like don't make it like any other Batman we've seen. If we're sticking with this weird world that we have, this very realistic take on Gotham, like, don't have him resemble anything we've seen before. Even the more realistic takes, like, even if he's just a dude in spandex like Adam West, but he mercilessly beats people with no remorse, okay.
Or have him wear hockey pads.
See,
that's a
don't
reference.
Know if they do that,
that
but
that's
I
a
feel
reference.
Like they could. Because let's face it, they've already got a character named A. Fleck. So I could see them do
Oh my
that with a
God.
Batman where he's wearing hockey pads and somebody shoots him and they're like, hey, is that
How are you
guy
able to
wearing
take that
hockey
hit?
pads?
How are you able to take the hit? I am wearing hockey pads.
Yeah. So I don't know. But with this movie, I mean, yeah, is it a lot of member berries from the first film? Of course. But you know what? I like the trippy take that the first movie took us on. I do like the question of what's real and what isn't. And, you know, I like Lady Gaga. What can I say? Am I like a big fan of her music? Not really. I can listen to her and enjoy it, but I'm not playing her on my iPhone. But she's also a great actress. So you throw her into the mix, and I kind of feel like she's also. It's kind of weird how they have done this with Harley Quinn casting, where it's like, okay, you picked perfect casting for this character. Yeah, it's radically different from what Matt and I would be familiar with, and I assume you as well, Sebastian. Did you watch the Batman the Animated Series as a kid?
Yeah, I did. I was actually gonna interject and say, well, it's radically different from what we saw in Margot Robbie's portrayal of
Oh,
her,
yeah.
which, in the Batman animated series, and that's a deep cut, you sort of see more of this. I don't want to say calm and collected because that's not her character, let's be serious. But in the animated
Why so
series,
serious?
whimsical.
I would say calculated and whimsical, as opposed to what we saw in Suicide Squad and even Arkham Asylum. I mean, she was batshit in that game, but not, but she could still process emotions in a way where it's like, ah, J-Man's dead or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think Lady Gaga can give us a performance more in line with the animated series Harley Quinn. And that's great. Because that's, again, it's a radically different portrayal. Her acting and singing speak for themselves. I don't think that this movie was casted incorrectly. Truthfully, I just don't know what to think about it until I watch it. And then again, it's probably going to have to be met under some conditions, and that condition is I'm not going alone. So, Matt, if you want to go see it, hell, put me in your hit piece about it. Yeah, I'd love to.
I mean, this the Joker trailer really was just to distract from the actual greatest movie to come out this year, which is going to be Bambi: The Reckoning.
What?
Bambi:
So they
The
managed
Reckoning.
to wait. Is Bambi in the public domain?
I suppose so.
Oh
From
no.
the same studio as Winnie the Pooh: Blood and Honey, and Winnie the Pooh:
Well,
Blood and Honey 2,
Winnie the
which is
Pooh,
leading
Winnie the
into the dark
Pooh.
universe
Winnie
of
the Pooh
characters.
absolutely was atrocious. I mean, you got to give credit where credit's due. I'm assuming a lot of them were inspired of, among the scary stories and creepypastas of Disney IPs of old, but I heard that Winnie the Pooh sucked.
I heard the
I mean, what
first
are
one was
the.
awful, but the second one people said is actually like
Okay.
somewhat decent.
I mean, you want a scary movie, just. You want a scary. What was it? Bambi, you said?
Bambi: The Reckoning.
Okay, so you want a scary Bambi movie, just have the movie, the original Bambi, cut out after her mom dies. That's it,
Bambi's a
nothing else
guy.
happens. Oh, yeah, that's right. His mom dies, excuse me. It's
Ugh.
not like Lion King that tugs at your heartstrings. It's just, oh, animal dead. Well, that's terrifying. So, I don't know. I'm not holding my breath for Disney adaptations. We've all known how those pan out.
Well, and I think as well with Joker, you know, I mean, when we started this show, I remember that was something that we had talked about where, you know, some of what I thought were the better movies of 2019. And in hindsight, I look at a lot of those movies and I think I was such a snob. Because there's a lot of those movies I've not gone back to, and I'm glad I haven't.
Oh man.
To which now I'm forgetting if Velvet Buzzsaw was one of them. I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
I think it was a
And
2019 movie.
I don't I still don't know what you see in that fucking movie. I mean, I get it. I really do. I get the cult of personality behind it, and I slowly come to the realization each and every day that the reason why I hate these characters so much is because, ironically, these people are very good actors,
Yeah.
right? And it further rationalizes my argument that if art is supposed to imitate life and vice versa, the people portrayed in this movie are based off of real life stereotypes and archetypes of artists
Yeah.
and artistic types, meaning that I have full rationalization to despise them as human beings for the characters that they portray,
Yeah.
and subconsciously wish that people like that didn't exist in the artistic sphere. Is that going to stop people? Obviously, no. But
I
it
mean,
achieves more than it doesn't, but it doesn't make me any happier because of it, if that makes sense.
it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's something that I've at times argued with my parents about, and I almost feel like, in a way, I've somehow won the argument, which I don't honestly know how I did. Where and frankly, I actually don't think I did, but it's the idea that you can watch any piece of media and, hate the person that's being portrayed on screen. And, I mean, you read a good example of this is, you read Camus' The Stranger. Anybody that goes out of their way thinking, ah, oh, Meursault, he's the guy, I want to be like him. You're a lunatic if you want to be like this guy. And believe me, he's such a surface level protagonist, but there's nothing attractive about him, and there's nothing interesting about him. Well, okay, that's a lie. He is interesting, but he's not a likable character, and he's not a sympathetic character either. You could extend it to literally, well, it's primarily one character throughout at least five books, but out of the six, but Henry Chinaski in at least
Oh,
five
God.
of Bukowski's
Yeah,
books. Succession.
no one wants to be that guy at the post office.
Yeah.
Okay. No one strives to, and as much as vices take hold of good majority of people, i.e. smoking, drinking, sex, gambling, what have you, I think people look at it as just that, as a vice. I don't think people actively think to themselves outwardly that this is a healthy way to live if through smoking or through drinking, you're noticing your body
Yeah.
slowly but surely shutting down, or the money in your wallet no longer being in your wallet when you go to the horse track, or the fuck, just casinos in general. So I don't know. I think subconsciously people know what's right and what's wrong. And you look at the archetypal Los Angeles degenerate as Chinaski. Bully. Would I ever want to be like him? Absolutely not. Hell, would I ever want to be like Bukowski? Probably not, because it was modeled after him.
Yeah.
Before the conversation gets too derailed, I'm glad that you grew up and you stopped being such a snob, and I'm glad that I grew out of my Clerks phase.
I've
I didn't
still
grow out
never
of it,
seen
but it's just,
Clerks.
it's not. Well, I'm not going to
That's
be super militant with you and say what, because then I just sound like everyone at CalArts or FITM. Just watch it; it's a good movie.
It's well worth
Say the
watching.
third
I
movie.
enjoyed the hell out of it.
I will say the third movie, people don't
Okay.
like it for certain reasons, but if you can stomach it, you'll actually grow more of an appreciation of why the first movie was made to begin with.
I
And
mean,
the second
I'll give
movie's
it a try. I'm just not a fan of Kevin Smith.
Oh, I get it.
That's
His
fair.
content's a little hard to stomach, depending on exactly what you're watching. Of course, I'm biased because I used to work in that exact position and dealt with a majority of customers that, let's just say, made my day. God.
But I will say, while we're still on this tangent, before I get back to Joker, I will say definitely if there's any other Bukowski, I mean, obviously I'd recommend Pulp, even though Pete was like, "What were you thinking?" I do highly suggest that's not my
He'll
Pete
get off his
impression.
depre he'll get off his depressive kick sooner or later, and he'll realize, oh, so you're saying that when I look outside and I look to the world, there's more to life than turns page, whatever Chinaski's getting into this day. That's
Well,
not good for him.
I will say if you go and read it's kind of the prequel of the whole series, Ham on Rye.
Okay.
It's honestly Ham on Rye is the best of the bunch. It's absolutely well
Okay.
written. It's weird because for years, and I've said this on the show for years now, I avoided it because it sounded like an absolutely crushing, depressing book. And it ended up actually being very funny and not like heartbreaking. I mean, it's still there's a lot it's sad and there's real tragedy in it that a kid should never have to go through, but it's also like surprisingly funny and innocent and also frankly with a lot of the things that you and I have talked about, Sebastian, about, you know, what it meant to be a kid and growing up and then being a teenager. He touches on all those things in his own way, and he does it in such a beautiful way that you sympathize. Let's just say that this is the most you're ever going to sympathize with Chinaski. Obviously, the big difference is that he's a kid or a teenager through most of the book.
Right.
But you also got to realize that it's being written by a guy in his 50s, and there's times where this, whatever, 8, 10, 11, 15, 16, 18-year-old boy sounds like a 50-something-year-old man who's an alcoholic and a womanizer. Anyway, back to Joker,
Yeah.
who is none of the above. Maybe a child, but I that's too harsh. No, I mean I still maintain that that movie was not only the best movie of that year, in my opinion, but also for that time, that pre-COVID time that felt so deranged and so brain-meltingly fraught, it did feel like a perfect movie to touch upon the politics and the culture of what was going on in America post-Trump. And I think, if anything, what I like about the premise of this movie, at least based on what we do know, is that it's stepping away from all that, or at least it could be. And I think I like the idea of making it feel just, I don't know, more like an honest, simple, based on DC characters story. You know, I don't need it to be an adaptation of Mad Love or The Killing Joke or The Dark Knight Returns. Just a good adaptation, a good take on characters we're familiar with. And as long as it doesn't have to be something that reminds me of the times we live in, you know what? I was already gonna pay for admission, but, you know, if I can come out of this and think to myself that was really good and it didn't remind me of the American Berserk, fine by me. Because to your guys' point about the rewatchability of the first movie, it's not a rewatchable movie. You know, I've probably only seen it less than 5 times since I saw it in theaters. I mean, technically I own it on Blu-ray, even though it's not with me, but granted, that was also when, you know, I had my ways of getting a copy at work. So, but you know, it was just at former work. Before the dark times. But I don't know. If anything else, I'm actually kind of curious because I know, I mean, we've been talking about going to the movie theaters for, I mean, probably more so in the last year and a half since I moved. But in California now, what is the average price for movie tickets? Because I almost feel like it's more expensive there than it is here.
I think it's about 15. I have the Regal app or the Regal Pass, so I pay like 23 a month and I get like as many as I want. But I think in general it's about 15.
So we have here adults 14 to 18, and then if you're a student, 12 to 14, and then if you really want to milk that military discount, only after 4 p.m., 12 through $14.
Oh, you want to
I'm
know what's fucking
assuming
hilarious? So when
what?
I was a kid, my dad is a nurse for the LA County Jail, and he used to have a badge with them. And so every single time we would go to like movie theaters, he'd ask for a law enforcement discount and show his medical badge. It's like you're not law enforcement, you're a fucking nurse. Calm down.
I mean, I can understand discounts for like first responders, frontline health workers, you know, those types of services. I mean, even military, not to toot my own horn. It's you know, it's a fucking movie ticket. You're really gonna cause a stink over it. I'd rather go to Denny's down the street and get free eggs. You're averaging about 15 to roughly 20, assuming formatting of movie. Because I remember stepping foot into an IMAX. This was quite a couple of years ago, and they were sub 20. Keep in mind, I think this was pre 2016 because I used to go to the movies a lot with my family, and I remember prices getting up there. Of course, we never paid for snacks at the theater because why would you? Seriously, why would you? And even in my brief stint actually working at the movie theater in college, those tickets got up there. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's not any sort of extra hidden fees and nuances that go into your average ticket price. And then, of course, you got tax too. So. And then especially if you're going with people, like if you're going with a family of four, that's like a steak dinner. So, you know, like at a good restaurant, but they can get up there.
So in that case, I was wrong. Just looking at some of the prices that Andrew and I have had to pay for seeing movie. I mean, they have varied at times, but I don't know. It certainly IMAX feels cheaper here, from what I remember in California. But regardless, no, I mean, you know what? It remains to be seen how this movie goes. Obviously, we'll talk about it when the time comes. Realistically, I think if we got to worry about any movies this year, it's basically Joker, Civil War, and I really haven't mentioned the full name, Joker Folie à Deux, which I think means like
Yeah, because
shared
it's
madness or
Folly of Two.
something.
No, it's literally, I think, Folly of Two, which,
It means misery enough
okay.
for two. There's
Yeah.
a Fall Out Boy
Oh.
album called Folie à Deux. It means misery enough for two. It's a reference to, like, I think, an actual, like, mental disorder.
Yeah, shared delusional disorder, a rare psychiatric
Folie à
syndrome in
Deux.
which symptoms of a delusional belief and sometimes hallucinations are transmitted from one individual to another.
Oh, great. So, are we going to go through the whole movie and find out that Harley never existed and it was his subconscious manifesting a quote unquote love interest?
Honestly,
Hey, I'm going to put my money on red and we'll see
I feel
where
like
it
it's
goes. How about
possible.
that?
I hope it's not.
Okay.
And the thing is
I hate that you've manifested that for us.
I'm just anticipating because the first shot of the trailer is literally him in his solitary confinement cell, and I hope that that's not how the movie ends with it all being some sort of psychosis. I mean, admittedly, you'd kind of catch us all off guard if that was the case, but that is the most overdone movie trope. Oh, it was all just a dream.
Yeah.
Like, ever devised. And granted, it would make sense here, but that would be so stupid.
It
because it would.
It would. No,
but that would also make it genius.
No.
No.
Screw that. No, no, believe me.
Leave it to a non-film guy to say if something's genius or not.
And believe me, I will be the first person to tell you that if they do the whole, oh, it was all fake, it was all a dream, oh, Harley was an illusion for him to get out of Arkham, I'd be like, this is some bullshit. You know, I'd be really displeased. But
I'm still putting my money on red, though, because I really do think there's a chance. I hope they don't. I really hope they don't.
Yeah.
And
then otherwise, the only other thing of interest that I could think of would be that Francis Ford Coppola movie that might not see the light of day, even though it apparently might be at the Cannes Film Festival, that Megalopolis, that he literally sold enough wine to make that movie, and it's supposed to be like one of the most expensive movies. I don't think it's one of the most expensive movies ever, but certainly certainly something unique. So unique from the standpoint of, you know, this would be the kind of movie that, you know, Coppola, De Palma, Scorsese, Spielberg all wanted to make, and George Lucas. But I've also heard that some of Coppola's recent movies aren't so great, so remains to be seen. And the movie still needs to come out. How? I don't know. Maybe one of those like little flip binocular things that we all had in the 90s. That would be funny. Oh, hey, it's Adam Driver and his it looks like Caesar. Ooh. Ooh, hey, it's Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, they're both in it. Anyway. Yeah, two episodes in a row. I can't even think of a good outro here.
Wait, hold on. Are they re-releasing? Oh, okay. So I just looked up the upcoming movies for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Because I only know that the only other movie coming out is The Sims.
Oh, she's also producing
How?
Monopoly.
How?
Oh.
Monopoly, yeah. And I saw Phantom Menace, and I'm like, no, they're not. They couldn't.
They're just
re-releasing. No, it says that. Well, it just says Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace, and then it shows you when it's supposed to come out. This still says the original date of May 19th, 1999. So unless they're going to be doing what they did before, when they only released, do you remember that?
Yes,
stint in
I know
time
the story.
They released episode one in 3D and they didn't do any of the others. I mean, I went to go see it because I like episode one. Getting older, I realized, I mean, by association, considering the shit we got now, I like the prequels. but it was
recorded.
Weird. They never did episode two or three, and I'm like, why not?
So,
but when I saw it on that list, I immediately thought, oh, they're gonna do it again. Why? Why would they do it again?
It's probably it's the 25th anniversary, so they're probably gonna be like, hey,
yeah,
come see Jar Jar in theaters again. So I'll end on this story. So Lucas was going to re-release all six movies in 3D.
Okay.
And I'm forgetting the timeline of all this, but I think at one point he was going to expedite the releases of Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith in 3D. And then before anything could happen, any marketing or any remastering, maybe the remastering was done. That part I don't know. Simply put, the Lucasfilm merger with Disney happened. And we never got the rest of those because that wasn't part of the deal. George Lucas altered the deal and didn't tell Disney, pray I don't alter it any further.
Oh my God.
So,
Okay, well, that's I guess interesting. They better release the other two this time if they're gonna do some 25th anniversary stuff. Like they better do it,
I mean,
because like I said, I have a growing appreciation for the prequel trilogy. I can now look at episode two as being politically the most interesting. I thought episode one was.
whoa, 2 over 3 is more politically interesting?
No,
Them's
no,
fighting
no, no, no.
words.
I liked what two brought to the table. Three, I think everyone likes it for the sake of it's when it all goes to shit. And
Yeah.
then one is one. It's boring. And how do all conflicts happen? Fucking bureaucracy. So
I wasn't allowed to watch the first one in theaters because it was quote unquote too dark because it's when Anakin turns evil.
No.
What? He's like 9 years old.
That's not until
Did I say
episode
the first one?
two.
I meant the third one.
I
I
was gonna say,
Oh.
yeah,
I
it's
wasn't
not
allowed
until
to show the third one, watch the third one in theaters because it's quote unquote too dark.
episode two where his mother gets murked. And he's like, oh, what is this feeling? Hate? Oh, okay, I could work with that.
Then he loses an arm at 19. Ugh.
I lost my mind at 19.
I was married
There's
at
your outro.
19, just like Anakin. No, I wasn't.
There's your outro.
Sure, you don't want another joke, Murray?
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Okay. Why do all these episodes end with me chuckling? I feel like I
Because if
say
it's
a
not,
joke and then I go,
if it's not you chuckling, it's me arguing. If it's not me arguing, it's
It's
Matt
quipping.
quipping. And if it's not either of us, it's silence. Because Drew isn't here. Good night, everyone.
Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erbrick. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.